going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We have commissioned a group to study whether this is called Cheers and Jeers or Jeers and Cheers with Rochelle Olson. Dave, do we have any data back on our study so far?
We've got some data, but we've got the nerds, the calculator nerds, still crunching numbers, yeah. So no official word yet.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is Jeers and Cheers or Cheers and Cheers, but our friend Rochelle Olson is here. I appreciated the picture last week at Duke. Duke looked very nice.
Yeah, he's a handsome dude.
How old is Duke, by the way, your dog?
Duke is coming up on 7 years. I've had him for 3. He's a rescue because everyone should adopt. Not shop.
It's almost
rescue
like
pets are the best.
It's almost like a commercial broke out right there, Dave.
That was very nice.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. If you can bring a rescue dog into your life, you're just better off. Since we're talking dogs, Dave found a story today. Dogs outrank all humans except kids in our relationships. Does Rochelle Olson agree with that study? That dogs outrank all humans except kids in a relationship. Basically, the bottom line is if you're a parent, you might love your kids more than your dogs. But outside of that,
everyone else,
your spouse, your brothers, your mom and dad are after your dogs. Where does Mrs. Either Jeers and Cheers or Cheers and Jeers stand on that?
You know, I think there's not a week that passes where I don't have this same conversation with friends. It's the dog outranks everything. At a certain point in life, the dog is everything. I mean, who's more loyal than the dog? The dog is always there for you. The dog never criticizes. Yes,
yeah.
It barks sometimes and, you know, does other things and it costs you money and blah, blah, blah. But the dog is loyal. What are they known for? They're loyal. They're the best.
I'm with you 100%. You know who's a dog hater? Adam Carter. Do you remember him?
No.
Yeah. Dave, go ahead. Not a big fan of dogs.
No, he's even got dogs and somehow still hates dogs.
Yeah. And you know
what? No.
I'm going to tell you somebody who has more disdain for dogs. Another member of our staff.
Yeah.
Take a shot who that is. Another member who... You know,
Susie.
Susie loves dogs. Susie's a sweetheart. No, this person.
Anita?
Nope. Another kind, great human being. This person's a borderline.
Well, psychopath?
Psychopath. Clearly a narcissist. I mean, everybody acknowledges that. Might be on after me. You know, just that might be a hint.
Jason?
Yeah. Not a dog lover in any way.
Really?
Yeah. What does that tell you about him?
Well, it's tragic, really. I don't get people who don't like dogs. I know some people too, and I don't get it.
If you were queen of the world, and someone admitted they didn't like dogs, would you like them to go to another planet? Yes or no?
Well, that's a level of hate or banishment that I don't like to put out into the world, Chad. I mean, I think we should all live in peace and harmony.
I've read your stuff. What are you talking about?
I mean, I'm not going to say somebody should go to another planet, but would I like to live in a small house with a gigantic fenced yard and 200 dogs? Yes, I would.
Okay, now that's taking it a bit far. Okay.
Maybe a bit.
Okay, Dave, which one is more troubling to you? I'm suggesting that anyone who acknowledges that they don't love dogs, Pluto, we count Pluto as a planet. We have not given up on it.
Yep.
Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter. Rochelle just said a 400 square foot house, 200 dogs, and a fence.
Yeah.
Well,
that's a little absurd.
The yard would be big. There would be heated dog houses outside. I mean, that might be a little overkill, but, you know, I like dogs, so.
Elon says we'll be to Mars by next Tuesday, so really asking someone to go to another planet isn't that much.
Yeah, might not be. Okay, we're going to pause in a little bit, and we're going to jump into cheers and jeers, but I want to get to the biggest story of the day, not too far from here, that federal prosecutors have charged a Milwaukee judge, not a Milwaukee citizen, but a Milwaukee judge was obstructing an immigration arrest operation. The FBI director, Kash Patel, it was out, then it wasn't out, but then they announced it, that Milwaukee County Circuit Judge Hannah Dugan intentionally misdirecting federal agents. Okay, so this has been a big story for a while. So it involves an individual named Eduardo Flores Ruiz. Learned April 18th that federal agents were waiting outside her courtroom to arrest this individual, a 30-year-old Mexican national set to appear before her on a misdemeanor state battery charges. Dugan, according to the charges, Rochelle, into our audience, allegedly confronted the agents in the hallway, according to the affidavit, according to what the FBI is saying, when they told her they had an administrative warrant to detain Flores Ruiz, she instructed them to speak to the court's chief judge. Okay, that seems possible. Now, while the agents were away, according to the affidavit, Dugan quietly postponed the hearing and directed him and his lawyer to leave through a private jury room exit instead of the public entryway. The agents spotted Flores Ruiz outside the courthouse and detained him after a brief foot chase. So this is obviously taking things dramatically further from this administration and various courts and immigration and the Trump taking a different approach. When I first heard about this, I was stunned. What is your reaction, at least from what we know, at least on one side of the story?
Well, I just literally got off the phone with a retired judge friend of mine who shall remain anonymous.
Okay.
Who is probably a pretty lefty, compassionate type judge who said she shouldn't have let them out that special entrance, that if she wanted to give them a heads up, okay, but that the opening the special exit was a step too far. I initially was appalled as well, but this is a judge I know and trust who just couldn't abide what she did.
Yeah, I was not appalled. I was just stunned by what happened, but I'm with your judge. I'm sorry. You're allowed, and again, I think what a crazy concept. I believe the Trump administration needs to follow the law, and the law does allow courts to render decisions. But when someone's there to be arrested, you can't pull the okey-doke. You can't say to federal authorities, when you're a judge, hey, go over there, but I'm going to let the individual and his legal team escape the other way. You can't have that happen. Absolutely not.
Well, and we know, I mean, judges and lawyers are, quote, officers of the court who take oaths to uphold the Constitution. And, you know, two rights doesn't make a wrong. I mean, you can have compassion for the person being arrested, but do you get to show them the back door? That's a tough one.
No, you cannot. You cannot. Yeah. You can feel like, and then you can offer, you can render decisions, and they can move up the chain of command. But a judge, even if the judge most passionately and legally, Rochelle, to me, and again, People get to disagree. I get that. That's part of the process. But even if they disagree, you can't then say, oh, no, the authorities are coming, so I'm going to create a situation where basically lying, go talk to another judge while I'm going to lead you out the other way. That can't happen.
Right. Yeah. Right.
All right. People can chime in on that if they'd like. 651-461-9226. Let's get to Rochelle's column, Cheers and Jeers. Right back with Rochelle in a matter of moments here on CCO.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Continuing with our friend Rochelle Olson from the Star Tribune, Cheers and Jeers. That's her column. She'll give you another column during the week, too. Cheers and Jeers pops up later Thursday afternoon. We react today. So among your jeers is Mary Moriarty, the Hennepin County attorney, case we talked about multiple days here.
Yeah.
This is the one with the state employee, Dylan Bryan Adams, who, when it was the thing to do, when it was criminal behavior, to go after Elon Musk because what was going on with Doge and his support of Trump to damage Tesla vehicles. Indefensible, by the way. He's arrested. Excellent work by MPD. Six Tesla vehicles damaged, $20,000, one vehicle over $10,000, and instead of felony charges, a diversion program. And you talked about the lack of an explanation, and I want to just say a little bit more, and then I want you to expand, because your colleague, someone I know very well, Jeff Day, in following up yesterday in your paper with the great insight, a 19-year-old Robbinsdale woman with no criminal record was charged with first-degree felony property damage when Monday, after she allegedly keyed her co-worker's car at White Castle in Brooklyn Park. The damage to the car was estimated $7,000. She's due to make her first court appearance in 2 weeks. That's a 19-year-old. This is one vehicle, no criminal background, and faces the first-degree felony. And this other individual, six different cars, and just gets the diversion program? Explain.
I can't explain. That's why I gave it a jeer. And yep. I think Mary Moriarty should explain it. I read every word of Jeff's story multiple times. And I also, by the way, reached out to Jeff to see if I was misunderstanding or not seeing the explanation. And he didn't have any more to add to it. I would like to hear more from the county attorney about why. I don't get it. And I covered the courts for a few years. It doesn't make any sense to me. And by the way, violence is never the answer, Chad. Even if it's a vehicle. Right.
I just think, and I've made this point a number of times on a number of decisions, including ones that Jeff pointed out, where I just have disagreed. And she ran on a different approach than Mike Freeman and Martha Holton Dimmick, including emphasizing more rehabilitation, a different approach. I got it. But, Rochelle, to me, it's almost like sports, where a coach has decided we're going to run this system no matter what, no matter the personnel, no matter the opponent. I'm just going to do this over and over again. And I feel like Moriarty's team, with her having the final side, is so insistent on times of rehabilitation. But then just this contrast within days of each other. Unless all of us are missing something dramatic about the Robbinsdale person. And trust me, Dave can back this up. There have been numerous times where the Moriarty team is listening to the show or is informed about things and will send us, Dave, you chime in, an email or something, said, oh, no, you're missing something. Has anybody received anything clarifying the Robbinsdale woman story, Dave?
Don't believe so.
Nothing.
No.
Nothing.
So, and I don't think we did either. I mean, I would love to see it. I didn't hear from Mary Moriarty today after that jeer. She didn't send me any more explanation. And it's always hard aren't comparing cases. Maybe you don't know the whole story or somebody's background. I don't know. But boy, she knows how this looks in the public domain, and she has the ability to step up to the microphone and explain it to all of us. That's part of her job.
Yep.
And that's why she got a jeer.
Yeah. And that, and so far, I think the problem is she has no explanation. She can't convince any of us that there is a difference between the two. Okay, Sandy Pappas. I feel like Sandy Pappas has been in St. Paul forever. So we've got the Bobby Joe champion situation here on ethics. And as you point out, she is the ethics subcommittee chairwoman, Sandy Pappas, DFL out of St. Paul. She informs a PAC room that she intentionally ignored any public watchdog reporting in her preparation for this hearing. What is she talking about?
Well, she said it again yesterday because they had another hearing yesterday. She's just saying she didn't read or track any of the public information, which, again, I found very puzzling, because when you're on a jury, right, or you're maybe involved in some sort of quasi-judicial situation where you're warned not to read the media coverage, that wasn't the case here. Part of her job, one would think, is to be informed about what had happened that led us up to this point. But again, she said it yesterday, and
it's insulting.
It didn't make any sense to me either time.
I think it's insulting. And as you point out, let's give credit first. Minnesota Reformer had it. Very good reporting. You guys expanded on it. So did other outlets. But this, to me, I'm sorry. If anybody's just saying a DFLer is protecting a fellow DFLer, sure looks like it to me.
Well, and the thing is that Senator Champion is the actual ethics chair, and that Senator Pappas is just filling in for him while they deal with his complaint.
Right. That's a very good point. All right, let's finish on a positive one. The University of Minnesota's dance team.
Yes.
They're unbelievable. I mean, they're just phenomenal, and point out their success and why you included them in the cheers category.
Well, they've been just consistent excellence for two decades now, and they've also, there's a young man on the team who named Matthew Greco. I think that's how you pronounce it. If you watch even just a snippet of this kid is off the charts in terms of talent and skill and star power. It is, you can't watch their dancing and not just sort of be overjoyed. And they did great yesterday, I understand, as well.
23 national championships.
Yeah.
And it's become a tradition where the videos will pop up. And I know other people probably, Rochelle, are paying more close attention during the year. And bravo to them. But they'll come up and you're just reminded, even with the turnover, even with new kids, it's just spectacular what they've done year in and year out.
It's like the football team, you know? It's the same thing. Just year
similar.
In and year out.
Very similar.
Excellence on the gridiron.
Yes, very, very good point. All right, I plan on sending you 194 rescue dogs over the weekend.
Okay. Don't. No.
Fun as always. Enjoy your weekend. We'll talk next week.
Bye.
Rochelle Olson. Right here on the Home of the Twins. Who we got tonight? We got the Angels.
Yeah, first of three with the Halos.
Text me, the first California Angel. I know they're not the California, but they should be. The first California Angels player you think of. Dave Harrigan, who's number one for you?
Tim Salmon.
Tim Salmon. I know we think of him more with the A's or Yankees, but you know the first guy I think of? I think of Reggie Jackson.
Yeah, I was going to say he's number two on my list.
I think of Reggie.
Trout. Trout.
I
prefer salmon to trout. That's what I say.
Yeah, trout. Smoked trout. Pretty good.
I'll still take the salmon.
Yeah. Rodney Klein.
That's right.
Yeah, that's a pretty good one. Twins Angels. It's a biggie. 6 o'clock pregame tonight on CCO. Among the Angels, Bobby Grich, Jim Abbott, Mickey Hatcher, Reggie Jackson. I don't even remember Mickey Hatcher with the Angels. I remember him here and with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
But that was a long time ago. Let's start wild. I'm the one who came on Monday with Chipper, and I've said dozens of other times They got to score goals. They have to score goals. And I watched all of game one, and it was fun. And they had a number of chances, but it was another game where they scored that second goal late, and you're like, how many times have they scored two goals? And you're sitting there saying, how are they going to win if they only score two goals?
Two or fewer. That's been the Wild for a year.
So what's happened the last two games?
Explosion. They heard you. They said, you know what, Chad,
yeah,
that's a good idea. I think we should score more than two goals. How about five? What do you say? Five?
They needed me to say, you know what you should do? Score more goals. Mm-hmm. And back-to-back 5-2 wins against a team that's really good. And you know what the biggest storyline is? Stars are outplaying stars. That's it. Boldy, 4 goals.
Pretty good.
Kirill, 4 goals.
Pretty good.
Eriksson Ek, great. I got a little cough here still. Whereas their top line, let's just go Eichel and Stone, each -5. And they're not scoring. No goals, no assists, those guys, through 3 games. Hockey is a game of a lot of depth, but hang on a second.
It's all right.
I'm going to have a little glass of water.
Have a little drink. Get yourself back up. We need you right here because we need to hear your hockey knowledge after you explain to the team how you win a game. How do they keep winning?
I went there behind Guerin's back. I mean, enough of Guerin, you know. I put him off to the side.
Mm-hmm. John Hines.
Put baby in the corner. I said, get out of here. You know, the Wild decided to go with their top three guys, which they did last year in the regular season when they played as well as any line in the league. And then they broke it up. And we raise this again. Can you put, by far, your three best forwards on a line? So far, he can't. Because they've been so good, and then you're getting the occasional help from other guys, including Ryan Hartman, who's played very well. But let's just be clear. It's that top line which is leading them, while the Vegas top line, led by Eichel, who is clear when we've talked to Guerin, he loves him, he'd like to adopt him. He has as many points as I do in this series. -5. He's -5, plus minus.
Your plus minus is better.
My plus minus is zip. Then goaltending. They're winning the goaltending battle. And by the way, I am reminded in 22 and 23, not that long ago, do you know which Minnesota team had a 2-1 lead in both series?
No, I have no idea.
The Wild.
Really?
The Wild. So I think, first of all, it's absolutely worth celebrating. Place was really loud, really loud on TV last night, just like the place down the street here is going to be extraordinarily loud, Target Center, with an 840/850 start. O'Donovan's, by the way, the one way to go, pregame. But bravo! I still think they're hanging out for dear life for that third line, although Zeev was better last night. But they're playing those four defensemen a ton. And they're, along with when they can match up, the top line outplaying the top line. But that, I mean, part of the reason, I mean, you're sitting there and you're tempted to say, do you break up Zeev and Bogosian? And they were better last night. They were lousy in games 1 and 2. But because your top two pairings are so good, with clearly Faber and Brodin, your number one, and then behind that, what's going on with Spurgeon and Middleton. But I'd like to see a Wild run. Let's go.
Be great.
It's fun when both do it. We obviously saw last year with the Wolves. They're 1-1. I said they'd win in 6. I'll be honest, I thought Vegas was going to win this series. I'd like to see them win. I'd like for us to have more content. So you can talk about depth, like Rossi scored last night too, and Hartman, and they're worried about Johansson injured. If you're going to load up, and by the way, you know, if you just go talent forward to forward, do the Wild have top 10 forward talent? They don't. Mm-mm. If you call all four lines. But if you look at those top three, especially the way Boldy's played in this series, especially, because how many times postseason have we had Guerin on where Guerin's like, Boldy can't play this way. just calling them out.
Yeah.
So that's worth noting.
Well, it goes with today's bump theme. Feeling good is the theme.
Yeah.
It's amazing what your team can do when they're all healthy and they're feeling good. We saw what the Wild were at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
You lose Kaprizov, you lose Eriksson Ek, you lose...
For 30, 40 games, Brodin.
Yes.
Spurgeon was out for a long time.
They played kind of like garbage.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? They're all back and they're feeling good.
And they
were a pretty good team.
There was an extended stretch when they all were healthy. When they started, they had the best record in the league.
Yeah.
Okay. This topic has nothing. Do you have like a... Like I have a phaser thing? Okay, there we go. Let's go to the Vatican, where the open casket proceeding is now over, and the funeral is taking place during the middle of the night.
12 hours from now, roughly.
Yeah, exactly. Donald, by the way, sitting in the fourth row. That's just the protocol, the way it worked out. He, of course, made fun of Joe Biden. When Joe was further back with Queen Elizabeth.
14th.
14th
row. Queen, yeah.
So Donald, I guess, can hold his hat on that one.
Location is everything.
If it was a normal presidential situation, by the way, he would have picked up Joe Biden. Because Joe and Joe Biden are going. In almost every other presidential circumstance, if you had two presidents going, one a Catholic, one not a Catholic. Okay. Let's point that out. But you would have the former president maybe say to Joe Biden, get to D.C. and you can fly over an Air Force One. We can do this together. No, of course not.
Do you think Joe wants to?
No. No, absolutely not. Donald doesn't want to. Joe doesn't want to. But he just talks about the hostility in our country. So back to the open casket situation where we're both in agreement. We're both uncomfortable with it. Right? Is that fair?
Yes. I've never felt comfortable with it.
I'm not saying you can't do it. You should do whatever you want to do privately. And obviously, the church is going to follow its tenets. I told the story the other day where it's a really long, complicated story where I just won't even get into it, but I was supposed to see this person the day before, and it still makes me sad when I think about it. And my friend would die. He would drown. He would down Gull Lake, right? Still no explanation what happened. Younger guy, shouldn't have happened. And when I was at Bill's, the wake the day before, and there was a long line of people, and I saw the open casket, and I just kind of put my head down. And when I don't, I'm just going to keep going by. I'm going to think of Bill, my nickname for him, the Navigator, because he would get us lost all the time. And I was, right when I was there at the open casket, is when the pastor decided to speak to us for like 20 minutes. And I just was like, come on, Bill, you're just doing this to me, aren't you? So tens of thousands of people have wanted to, in person, pay their respects to the Pope. Amazing. I'm sure hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions would have liked to have been in that position. Again, open casket. People are taking selfies with the open casket. We are a cell phone craze world where modern decency is challenged repeatedly by phones. We could have people attacked on the street. We do. And instead of helping out, calling police, screaming, what's the default for a high percentage of people, Dave? What do they do?
Go viral if we get that on video, baby.
Let's video it. So, I find it gross. I find it grotesque that you are going to think I'm going to take a selfie with Pope Francis. Am I wrong to borrow from the committee?
Ooh.
An ode to the committee, tipping my cap to the community.
I hope so, what that is.
The Am I Wrong community. Very different than the mock draft community. Am I wrong to say that's gross and I wouldn't think about doing it for a second? Have has the church, sticking with what was done hundreds of years before, when there was no thought of a picture, have they created that situation where it's now a possibility? They have, but should people still step away? Because the thought wouldn't cross my mind. But again, I'm the person who's very, very uncomfortable around open caskets, but not telling you you can't do it. I want to be clear before I get some, well, who are you saying? I'm not saying that. I'm just saying for me, it makes me personally uncomfortable.
Well, let's review two big events over the last couple weeks. The first one, as you're talking about, the viewing of Pope Francis's body in the open casket, and the other being the Masters. One allows phones, the other does not. And it's the Masters.
I love
it's
how we've now tied
that does not
wild
allow
talk Pope Francis and the Masters, and I'm proud of it.
I think we did well.
I think so.
Yes, you can take a selfie with the Pope, but don't you dare take a photo of Rory from 300 yards away.
That's
when
right.
He's got a six iron.
That is exactly right. That's why, you know, when the scores were changed and the place was going nuts, when every other event you're at, I knew that already. I knew that already. I knew that already. If people close to you were seeing the Pope and took a picture of him and sent it back to you, and it's someone you respect, maybe it's a loved one, what would you think?
I'd be curious. Now, I'll ask you this. Is there a difference between just taking a photo of the Pope
mm-hmm.
in the open casket, or if it's a selfie?
Yes.
Because I know people have gone to a funeral.
Yeah.
They know somebody can't attend for whatever reason, but they would like to see the body.
Yeah.
Because some people just
yes.
really like the open casket. They want to see how the body looked, how they did the makeup, what they're wearing.
Yep. And that's
and
out of respect.
And they will take a photo
right.
to show that other person.
I think it is. Again, I wouldn't do it in a second. I told you the times I was with my father after he passed. And I did it, obviously, because it was my responsibility. I lived up to every second of my responsibility. But it was hard. It was very difficult because that's not – I mean, I guess everybody wants – individuals to be around. Is just I was going to be there and I was never going to shirk a responsibility. I wanted a different image.
Yeah,
you know, but yeah, a wacky selfie. Okay, just even if it's not wacky, you're taking a picture with dead Pope Francis. Does that appreciably bug you more?
I wouldn't do it. There's
yeah.
no chance I would do it. I think at this point though, it might be one of those things we just have to get used to.
Yeah, because
selfies in inappropriate spots.
Because by the way, how many times did a camera show him where you could see him in the open casket?
Yeah.
That's a comeback for people saying, wait a sec, I can watch it on TV, I could record it, I could save that, but I can't take it if I wait 12 hours at the Vatican. What do you want to say? Be curious how people feel about it. 651-461-9226. And if you want to tie that to the Wild, because we started talking about the Wild and their stars, if you want to comment on the Wild, you can do that. You want to comment on the Wild and the Pope? You want to comment on the Wild, the Pope, and Rory? You want to comment on the Wild, the Pope, Rory, and the Master's cell phone policy? You can. All of it available to you. Dog lover, me. Dog lover, you. Dog hater, Jason DeRussia, soon. You know where they love dogs? Everybody loves dogs?
Where's that?
Stretch Lab.
Of course they do.
Of course they do. Anybody who attends Stretch Lab as a customer or works there, they love dogs. How many locations in the metro area? 11. You're going to find one. Why should I go? You should go if you have a 12-year-old son or a 12-year-old daughter who's getting ready to play sports, or you're a 22-year-old athlete in college and you want to run even better. You're a 32-year-old, you're playing tennis, you want to feel better. You're a 59-year-old and might make a golf debut soon. You're a 75-year-old who's a power walker, or you just want to feel better. You want to play a little better tennis. You want to hit that 7-iron, maybe 170, maybe 160, whatever it is, and feel better. These are trained specialists. I've been going for 6-plus years. They'll work with everybody, including they work with my son and his significant physical issues, and they're amazing to him. StretchLab.com, half off your first visit, 25 and 50 minute sessions. Go check them out right now. Among the attacks on the Pope, first, a lot of people giving me credit too for saying that it's better when an NHL team scores more goals. Where else do you get that insight?
It's a lot of good hockey takes today.
Yeah.
You're a puck guy.
I am a puck guy. Totally agree with Chad. No photos with the dead. Why the heck can't they have a no cell phone policy?
There's like a live stream of it on TV.
I can understand more so people can take a photo of the Pope Francis' casket for historical significance if people that cannot be there in person. I find it very disrespectful to take a selfie with any person that is deceased. Mm. Okay, well, I made that point, yeah, too, because you're right. There's a live stream. You could turn on Fox, CNN, and you could see him. You're there. Let's say you were leading.
Would I do it?
Would you do it?
No.
Yeah.
No. Absolutely not.
Do you find a difference between a photo and then a selfie?
I would do neither. But it doesn't really bother me if someone does it. I think it's weird, but yeah, also, like, this is how we memorialize and remember big moments. It just is.
Yep.
And I think...
including watching somebody get attacked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's go to Lucy. She wants to chime in a call. Lucy, thanks for listening. What do you want to say?
I'm a retired Catholic lay pastoral minister. It used to be my job to arrange ritual moments like this. The reason we tell people not to take photos at those moments is not because it's going to bother the person who's died. For heaven's sakes, we trust he's with God in heaven and could care less. But it's because it shortchanges the people who are participating, yeah, including, yeah, the person with the camera. Because what we want to encourage people to do is to be absolutely present to the moment and to be in prayer for Francis and for the church and for the world. And if you are worrying about how you're framing yourself in a selfie, it's a real distraction for you and for everybody else around you. It's mostly you're cheating yourself.
Lucy, great call. Thank you so much. We could make that point about so many other events where people are obsessed to capture it through a phone,
yeah,
as opposed to just enjoying the moment.
But is it possible that, like, for Lucy and for you, like, that would take you out of the moment? But for a whole other generation, like, it doesn't take them out of the moment.
No,
it's natural to their life.
No, you need to remember always, I'm right. And
I don't want to question Lucy, although she said former. I mean, oh, it sounds, yeah, like a quitter to me. So, I'm just saying.
She was present.
I was in church this weekend, Lucy.
Yeah.
Just saying.
In the back row, and you kind of mailed it,
yeah,
in.
Yeah, well.
Jason, Card to Sharks, another fun throughout the afternoon here on CCO.